This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to the family with
Mike Stretch Gelfand
and Andy Brampernard.
Magnificent. All right, we got a million things to talk about. There's no question about that.
At least one, apparently.
Well,
no, I got a couple too.
What could be more important than matzo ball soup?
Nothing, because I have been a fan of matzo ball soup since Plitman's Deli
yes.
on Plymouth Avenue.
Yep. And I have since my dad walked me up to Cecil's. One day when I was like 5 years old. But my main source of matzo ball soup is the Crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
But now I don't know what to expect here, because the Crossroads has been sold.
What?
They've been sold, and I talked to Kevin, I was over there the other day, and Kevin, you know, of course people don't know this, but he's been running the place for 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the key to any great restaurant. You got to have a guy who's there like 16 hours a day. And Kevin, he came over, he said hello, and he said, "This is my last day here." Now, because the place has been sold. And so, we don't know what to expect now.
He is one of the most pleasant people to deal with I have ever dealt with. I love Crossroads. Every time I go there, "Tom, great to see you back. We've been missing you." I mean, he's just a wonderful guy.
Yeah. Perfect for the job. And I'm really happy for him, because he probably is, you know, it's almost like being in radio, you know. You're there 25 years, and eventually you think, "Hey, I probably could use some sleep now."
Maybe. Yeah. That might be the whole situation. But so do you know who bought it?
You know, I don't. I'm going to have to do some investigative work later today and figure that out.
All right, as a Jew in America, what if it's a Palestinian?
As long as they can make a good matzo ball soup.
You don't care.
No. I mean, they have a right to their own matzo ball soup, too.
You damn right.
Everybody does, you know.
I remember the first time, of course, Lincoln Dell had great matzo ball soup. You get, you know, you go down the list of all the great places. Plitman's was wonderful as a little kid.
Yeah.
That's where I first heard the term. Because I ordered a glass of milk with my roast beef sandwich, and I heard the term goyish anachis, those were my first Yiddish words I think I ever learned.
Yeah.
Because I was a little boy at the time.
You were basically a shanda fit a goyim.
Oh, I love it.
Carlin taught me that one.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I didn't know. There wasn't much Yiddish that was thrown around in my house, very, very little, because my dad, he wasn't going to learn a whole lot of Yiddish in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
In Oklahoma, it ain't going to happen.
No.
That's exactly right. Now, they're not going to change the menu, I hope.
Well, what Kevin said was, so they said everything's going to be the same. You know, nothing's changing. The same people are going to be here. Of course, not Kevin and his brother, but everything's going to be the same, you know. But everybody says that when they buy a business.
Yes, they do.
So I'm not taking it at face value, I guess.
They can't change that. It's some of the best matzo ball soup I've ever had.
You know, I like it a lot because it's really packed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, every matzo ball soup is a little bit different.
Nice and dense.
Yeah, I like it dense because, you know, I like to make a meal out of it, which means you got to have a lot of chicken, you got to have a lot of vegetables. And so we'll see. But one thing you know is going to change. It always does.
The price?
Yeah, yep. That's true. It's got to be something.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I heard so many, God, hanging out at delis as a kid and just, oh, my God, it was wonderful. You heard wonderful lines like, "Jew eat? No, Jew." I'll never forget the first time I ever heard that. I thought it was, I was a little kid, so it was funnier than hell when I heard that. I thought it was wonderful.
Well, I got to tell you about my first time at the Crossroads, because it's memorable.
Okay.
So my friend, Susie Ayers, who who had been going there probably since the day it opened. She said, well, let's go over to the Crossroads. I said, what's that? She told me. Mm-hmm. And so the parking lot was pretty much packed. We walked into the front door. And of course, as you know, when you walk in the front door, you're in the delicatessen part of the place.
Yes, sir.
So, but like, there was not a sound. We couldn't hear anyone talking, which is amazing because at a delicatessen, if there's like 50 people in there, 49 of them are talking at the same time. No sound, nothing.
You're correct.
So we walked into the restaurant part, and the first thing we saw was a woman sprawled out on the floor.
What?
And, yeah. I said, oh my God, did she have a stroke or something? Is she okay? And Kevin said, no, she's dead.
What?
and my only response, the only thing I could think of to say was, I'll have whatever she isn't having.
Exactly.
But that's true. That was my introduction to the Crossroads.
She was really dead.
She was dead, yeah.
Oh, my God. That had to be a little tough to get your appetite up,
wasn't it? That will definitely have you'll have a problem there. I mean, as good as the food is there, you don't have the greatest appetite. And, you know, people were like, people didn't know what to do. Like, you know, should we just get up in the middle and leave, or should we stay, or what do we do? What's the proper thing to do? You know, I figured, well, you know, maybe you'll get a minion going, you know? But... Yeah, but I never again saw anyone die there, so I thought that was probably
good. Oh, that's
good. Yeah.
Out of the way.
The thing is, one is a story, and two is too many.
I must agree with you on that one. There's no question. Two people dying would be too much. You know, you just brought back so many wonderful memories, my noggin, whether it was Cecil's or the Lincoln Dell or Crossroads, or you go down the list of the wonderful places.
Yeah, it's not, but let's face it, we're not Chicago. We're obviously not New York.
Yeah.
I mean, I as much as I like the Crossroads, of course I like Cecil's, nothing's going to take the place of Manny's in Chicago.
Oh, Manny's wonderful.
Manny's is the greatest place. It's my favorite place of all time, right there on Jefferson Street. And that's one of those places where, you know, there's like 200 people in the place at the same time. Mm-hmm. And you're basically eating in an auditorium.
You know, I really miss Mort's. Mort's, when it first opened, they were very, very nice. They named a sandwich. Remember that, Andy? They named a sandwich after Grandma.
Yep, the Toots.
The Toots. They named a sandwich after my mother, which I will never forget. I loved going to Mort's. It was wonderful. How did that end up closing? I don't get it.
Well, they started just going through various permutations of managers and cooks, and it just, you know, so I don't know. I think maybe they start out and everything is the top quality, best thing they can find, and then they find out, well, maybe we have to raise the prices, and pretty soon then they say maybe we need a new management, and I don't know. But it did sort of deteriorate over the years.
Well, I'll tell you what, I used to live kitty corner from the Lincoln Dell on Minnetonka Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
So I only ate there about four or five times a week when I lived right across the street.
And you're here to tell about it.
I'm here to tell about it. One of my favorite, God, you just made my day by bringing up all the delis around the metropolitan area. And Chicago, of course, spent a lot of time. Lived in New York. 10th Avenue Deli was about six, seven blocks from my house.
Oh, yeah, you got spoiled.
Oh, God, I got spoiled. But my favorite story ever, Jeff Passel started working on the KQ morning show, and he, you know, from St. Louis Park anyway, mm-hmm. So I said, let's go over to Lincoln Dell and have a little lunch. I'll meet you over there. He goes, oh, yeah, sounds great. Well, sounds wonderful. So Pass is sitting there in the booth, got the wonderful, very comfortable booths there. And so Passel's sitting there, and I'm sitting there, and I look, and coming down the aisle was this very good friend of mine. He's a really, I won't say his name because it's not important, but he was a really good friend of mine. And he was not on one, but two crutches. He had to walk with crutches, as you know, his legs didn't work properly and all the rest of it. So it was actually very difficult for him to walk on crutches. But he and I would take shots at each other and have so much fun. He was just a wonderful guy. I don't think he's, I don't need to say if he's around or not anymore. but let's guess.
Mm.
But in any case, I see him walking toward the booth, and he's all excited because he's never met Jeff Passolt. As he walks up to the booth, he goes, Jeff Passolt. I mean, didn't even acknowledge me, you know, shock of the century,
yeah.
Which teed him up, by the way, for what I did next. Doesn't even acknowledge me, even though he's one of my great friends. Jeff Passolt, oh, my God, I got to tell you, you're one of my favorites of all time. I love watching you. So he gets all through the speech. There's a moment of silence, and I look at him, and I go, hey, why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you get the hell out of here? Nobody cares what you think, you dope. And Passolt, I thought, was going to have a heart attack because
yes.
He didn't know that I knew the guy. It's me going after a guy on not one but two crutches. Neither leg worked, and I'm taking shots at him. I thought Passolt was going to have a heart attack. It was wonderful. But Danny Barenberg, there's another guy. Love Danny Barenberg.
Yeah, Danny, we used to play poker occasionally. You know, this goes back like 35 years ago. And I don't think any of us had kids yet, and or just barely. And so we'd play poker, and the first guy we always invited to the poker game was Barenberg, because he didn't really play poker much. He didn't know much. He didn't really care about it. But he liked But he just liked the, you know, just liked being with a bunch of guys who you know, talked a lot and gave each other a lot of stuff. And but most importantly, he always brought a party tray.
Oh, my God, from the Lincoln Dell?
Which is like, you know, at the time, was like $55 or $60.
Sure.
Imagine what it's, well, I don't know if...
About $500 now.
It's a lot now, yeah.
And it would be.
So, you know, so everybody loved Barenberg. He's a great guy anyway.
He was, yes. He was very nice.
He, of course, ran the Lincoln Dell after... He finally inherited the place from his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Who wasn't quite as sociable as Danny was.
No, that's very true.
and so Danny discovered that, he discovered that Walser Ford was paying him more for the place, the one out in Bloomington.
Bloomington, yeah.
Than he could make in like 10 years running the delicatessens. And
that's very true.
Next thing you know, Danny was in Florida.
Danny still does live in Florida, doesn't he?
He does, yes. I still get a birthday card from him every year.
He does it. He sends me a Christmas card every year. Nice Jewish boy sending out Christmas cards.
Yeah.
So it's very – now where – God, I was just going to ask you a question. I forgot about what the hell I was going to ask you. But it just – those days – well, Andy, you – and I was no influence on you. You just love deli food.
Yep. Always have. Because we didn't really go to delis when I was a kid, because there was the closest one was probably 45 minutes away.
Yeah, a couple of them had closed because Mort's wasn't open yet, Crossroads wasn't open yet.
Well, in Dayton, it wouldn't have even been close if it was open.
In Dayton, it's true, and it wasn't close anyway.
In Dayton, nothing was close, so pretty much all I ate was like snack food and whatever Mom made.
The good news in Dayton was you could order milk with your roast beef sandwich.
That's true.
Yes, you could. And nobody cared.
It would be more like, that's what? Exactly you don't want milk with your meat?
I just, you know, you just brought me back so many great, great memories of the Lincoln Dell. Like I said, I'm working at Capitol Records, living kitty corner from the Lincoln Dell. I got an expense account, travel card. The whole. I had the most wonderful life.
Yeah, and then you ruined it all.
And then I ruined it all by getting back into radio. What a mistake that was. But no, that's not true. I love being in. Podcasting now. Podcasting's taken over that space as radio continues to slip, unfortunately, which makes me feel bad because I've always loved listening to the radio, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But it's just not as big as it used to be.
Well,
it's just
we the boomers are the last generation that grew up, you know, listening to radio.
Yeah, I think that is true.
Gen X, I'm sure. Well, I mean, even I grew up listening to radio.
But it was, I guess what I mean to say is it was a spiritual thing for us. It connected us in ways that we never felt connected by anything else.
Well, there was no other way to communicate with anyone, really. I mean, there was always the phone, but phones are very, you know, they're very personal.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, there was no internet, and they barely even had pagers for a long time. The world was very isolating for a very long time.
It was. Well, pagers lasted, about a year?
No, they still use pagers in hospitals sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they do.
Because they're more reliable, or that's what they say, and I don't doubt it.
God, now I want to go get some deli chow after the show today. Now we're talking, ladies. There's still some great delis in America. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But now I'm going to be pining away for the old days of the Lincoln Dell and Mort's Deli, which they treated me like a king every time I walked through the door, and I really missed that.
Mort's is just like still an empty building, isn't it?
It's just empty, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like no one wants that. That's strange.
It's a really prime piece of property, too, I would think.
You would think so, although an empty building is always the worst possible thing for a strip mall.
That is true, because it makes people be like, wow, this place is dying. Let's go somewhere else.
What are you going to do? What the hell?
Yeah, that was 2 years ago almost.
They shut down.
And so that building's just been sitting there empty for 2 years.
It's still got the Mort's Deli sign on it,
doesn't it? No one... Well, yeah, I mean... It's just like the bank property right now, and they're not going to put in the effort to take down the sign. So it's going to look like that until someone buys it or until someone steals the sign.
Any word on why they did just shut down Mort's? I have no idea why they did that.
I think it just kept making less and less money, or maybe costing more and more money to run.
Yeah,
it just was never really a success after the very early days.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a good location.
Well, the fact that no one's bought the building in 2 years suggests that maybe it might be a little overpriced.
It's possible.
I mean, if your mortgage is high enough, no business can survive.
It's a great strip mall. I mean, you know that when Down in the Valley is your anchor tenant, you're going to have fun there.
That's true, too, by the way. Down in the Valley has been there for quite a few years.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about it. No question about it. But you used to have to go downstairs. That's why it was called Down in the Valley.
Right, yeah.
You don't have to do that. You can go on parking lot level now, can't you?
I think so, yes. I was in there a few years ago, yeah.
What the hell was his name again? He was a nice guy.
I don't remember.
Neil something? God, I can't remember his name. But he was a really, really nice man. But I like to kind of think back on all this stuff, you know, the days at the delis and all the rest of it. And... You know, you got to drive some to get to a deli now. There are no delis, like Brothers Delis, they were downtown, but are they even around anymore?
Yeah, they're still there. I mean...
they are still there. Okay, good.
But it's not the kind of place like, you know, you can't just say to your buddies, hey, we'll meet you in the Skyway.
Yeah,
that's just not going to work. I mean, you know, it's a great location for people who work in the Skyway or work downtown anyway. But, you know...
Yep.
Just to drive downtown, you're gonna trying to find a place to park, paying a lot of money to park. It's too bad because the food there is good.
It is good, but it's mostly for the workers downtown, isn't
it? Yeah,
yeah.
That's why it doesn't have much much ambience if you want to actually go in there and eat.
I could see
most people just get something to go. I mean, if everybody who went there wanted to eat there, it would not work very well. But I love the place because I happen to be related to the owner.
Well, I didn't know that.
Well, it's a distant kind of thing, but yeah.
Motel?
There
you go. See, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. No, I love talking about that stuff because, again, North Side kid, a kid who grew up over in Highland. Like, did you grow up in Highland?
No. God, no.
I didn't think so. No,
I grew up... I was sort of. I think it's something of a metaphor that we lived right in the middle between St. Thomas on one side and Highland Park on the other. We were actually closer to St. Thomas,
like Creighton Avenue.
Creighton Avenue where I grew up. Creighton and Juliet.
It's where Andy went to college. Alex went to college.
Mm-hmm.
I lived. What's that like? 4 or 5 blocks over on Snelling.
Oh,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. Then you lived on, what was that name of that street again? That started with a W, the house you and Alex
Warwick.
Lived in. Warwick. There you go. You lived on Warwick. That was a great time just hanging out over there.
Yes, it was.
And you know, that never, ever occurred to me until many years later that you went to St. Thomas and Alex went to St. Catherine.
Yep.
And your parents' name are Thomas and Catherine.
Mm-hmm. It was meant to be.
I never even thought about that. All of a sudden, it just hit me. He's like, "Jesus, I never even noticed that."
And the reason I went to you was because my mom's nickname was Incomplete.
Incomplete, yes, really nice nickname.
Pretty much what I was known for in college.
You know, one thing I will tell you, it just popped into my head about this whole thing. That's what makes, for me, the Twin Cities the one of the greatest places to live, because Minneapolis and St. Paul, I love them both, but they're completely different.
Yeah, it's kind of a different vibe, isn't there?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I love them both in, for different reasons and different ways. I mean, they all have their own special places. Like Highland is a very special place to me, I think, you know.
Yeah, growing up on Creighton Avenue, it was like going to Highland was kind of like a day trip.
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
Didn't get up there much. I mean, it's a nice place, but, you know, got as far as Cecil's, but that was it.
Well, Cecil's a good stop anyway.
Yeah.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw & Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw & Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
I told you the very, very first time I ever walked into Cecil's many, many years ago. So I was 18, 19. That's how many years ago I'm talking. The guy's looking at the menu, and you could kind of tell just the way he comported himself, the way he dressed him. Nice Jewish guy. Mm. And he looked at the menu, and he couldn't decide what he wanted. They said, "Have you made up your mind yet?" And he responded, "Oy gewalt."
Too much. You hear that too unironically these days.
Just throw Oy gewalt at them. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, do people realize how lucky they are to grow up in Minneapolis or St. Paul, both of them, the suburbs and all the rest of it, completely different cities right next to one another?
Yeah.
Love it. I absolutely love that. And, of course, the building that sits right on the dividing line is the Hubbard Broadcasting Building.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle. The line goes right down the middle of the building, which is pretty damn cool, if you ask me.
I thought the line was the Mississippi.
No, not where that building. Well, it's, first of all, it's right next to the river anyway. Mm-hmm. But where that line goes through the building, so, you know, there are certain turns and twists that the Mississippi River does take.
Oh, yeah,
not
you're right.
Not big ones, but.
It's only along the Mississippi for the very north and very south parts of Minneapolis.
Yep. Huh. Absolutely.
Well, all right then. I don't know. I was a St. Paul guy. And I lived.
You loved living in St. Paul.
I lived right on the other side of that river where that was the dividing line. So
yeah.
That makes sense.
Very, very true. Mac, well, think of all of those great places. What's the name of the great bowling alley that's got the great restaurant upstairs? What the hell's the name of that place? God, I haven't been over there in years. Really good, though.
Where is it located?
It's right just off of Cretan Avenue and what was across? You remember that, don't you, Andy? That
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Oh, what the hell am I talking about?
I've been bowling twice in my adult life.
But the bowling alley was downstairs.
That's
and the
Cretan Avenue. There's the bowl.
They always wore T-shirts. The yeah. T-shirts that said, meat is murder. Tasty, tasty murder. But I can't remember the name of the restaurant. Really good food. They have really good food there. Anybody know?
I can't remember. But, I mean, I was in that bowling alley. Not to bowl very often, but they did have pinball machines.
They did.
I Absolutely. Knew where every pinball machine in St. Paul was.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons I like Tim Pawlenty so much, because he and his wife used to go bowling there when he was the governor. Like the governor's going bowling downstairs, man. Works for me. But, I think we do really need to understand how fortunate we are to grow up in the Twin Cities.
Well, there's the University of St. Thomas Bowling Alley, but that's the only one on Cretan, so it might have closed.
Oh, I hope not, because it was right downstairs from the... What the hell is the name of that restaurant? Meat is murder, tasty, tasty murder. The Nook. It's called The Nook.
Oh, The Nook, exactly. Yes. Yep.
Yep. The bowling alley was right downstairs from The Nook. And would you look it up and see if there's still a bowling alley that's in the basement of The Nook, Andy?
The Nook. That is on Hamlin.
Oh, it's on Hamlin. Okay.
Yes. That would be why.
Yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense. So is that bowling alley still there?
Let's see here.
He's working it out, baby.
I am working it out.
I think St. Paul had far, no, I shouldn't say far more, but definitely more bowling alleys than they do now.
Oh, yeah, I'm
oh,
sure.
Oh, God, yes.
Bowling
absolutely.
Is still a thing, but it's not nearly as big as it used to be.
No. Well, no? There's just so many distractions, other things. And people like things that where, you know, that they don't have to leave their home for.
And where did Tommy first bowl in his life? Think about where I grew up. The Homewood Lanes.
Oh,
baby.
The Homewood Lanes, yeah.
Yes, they have the Random Bowling.
Random Bowling, that's it.
Random
that's
Bowling
exactly
Center.
Right. Yeah. It's Randolph and Hamlin.
Yeah, Randolph, right.
Yep, there you go. And yes, it is still there.
I lived on Randolph for a while, too.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. I was Snelling and Randolph, so hey, there you go.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah.
That's the Snelling and Randolph is where that Walgreens that I used to go to is.
I still find it hilarious, and it's still true, not as much as it used to be, because it used to be a hard line, but it's still true that St. Paulites don't go to Minneapolis and Minneapolitans don't go to St. Paul. I'm like, what? They're connected. How do you not go over there? I don't really understand that. But
I mean, it's one thing to be insular, but that's taking it too far.
Yeah, that's a long haul. There's no question about that. You know, you just by bringing this up, Mike, now I'm the rest of my damn day, I'm going to think about Homewood Bowl and Plitman's Deli. And there was a great Jewish neighborhood in North Minneapolis from Penn Avenue.
Yeah.
I guess maybe it was a couple of blocks east of Penn Avenue to all the way west of Penn Avenue, the Homewood Bowl, Homewood Billiards, all that. It was,
and then there was the clinic on Homewood where my grandfather was killed by a drunk surgeon.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
The surgeon was drunk and he killed him?
Yeah, dropped the scalpel.
Dropped the scalpel where?
He was having an appendectomy.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and whether the guy was actually a certified doctor, I don't know.
Because in how do you not know that?
Well, I mean, you know, I've gotten all the information I could have ever got from my family. You know, they didn't seem to know that much, so there's a lot of things that I would love to know, but there are no documents or anything, so this stuff I'll never find out. But you know, in those days, we're talking about 1930 in this case.
Okay.
So Jews couldn't go to a real hospital.
Well, they could go to the Queen Hospital, couldn't they, over on Queen Avenue?
I don't even know that place.
Yeah, Mark. What's the buildings are still there. It's not a hospital anymore, right. But the buildings are still there. It's just off of Glenwood and Penn. Mark Rosen, as a matter of fact, was born at the Queen's Hospital.
Yeah, it's like right. That's like the capital of the North Side.
Yeah, kind of. Well, kind of pretty much.
It's, you know, I mean, yeah, it's where people went in those days. But I don't know. I don't know much more about it because
my
mother couldn't even say her father's name
without crying.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, she just couldn't say it. And my grandmother, she never ever talked about her late husband.
So how old was he when he died?
30.
30?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mother was 8.
Your mother was 8 years old and found out her father had been killed.
It was basically Halloween, came home from school.
Oh, my God.
Found out that her dad was dead. And they never mentioned his name again.
Really, just never talked about him? What was his first name?
Aaron.
What was Aaron?
Yeah.
But not Aaron Gobraw. Different.
That's an entirely different thing.
Entirely different Aaron right there. Was it A-A-R-O-N?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sorry to hear that. But seriously, just talking about all this stuff, it just churns up all these magnificent memories for me of going up and down the avenues. And it just, Saul's Supermarkets, there were a couple of those on Plymouth Avenue. And God, what the hell is the name of it? There was a, I don't remember what he used to even call it. But Myrtle was the name of the woman. She was an older woman.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the corner of Emerson and Plymouth, kind of across the street from what used to be the gas station that was first put there.
Oh, now I know what you're talking
about. It's a liquor store now,
I think. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about. Well, the reason that I bring up my grandfather is because we started talking about the delicatessens. This is the classic story of my people. You come for the laughter and you stay for the tears.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
My God, it's unbelievable. Why did Jews move to North Side? Is that the only place they'd let them live?
Yeah, it was redlining. That was it.
It was redlining.
Yeah, no Jew could live anywhere outside there.
Blacks, Jews, and Catholics.
Yeah.
That's who was in that neighborhood.
Well, at least we all got along.
We did. And people do not believe that. They do not understand it. But when I was a little boy, every Halloween at St. Joseph's School, which was over at 10th and 4th Street, just south of Plymouth Avenue, is where it was. We lived right on Plymouth Avenue. Wasn't really on Plymouth Avenue. It was a couple of feet from it, though. Right across the street from the school. But all of the Catholic kids that went there, the black kids, some Spanish children. So it was basically Catholics, black. Well, they were all Catholic.
Right.
But there were blacks and not Jews. No Jews went there. It was blacks, Hispanic, and a couple of Native Americans. But what you just said was 100% correct. Now, you did know when you crossed over Lindale Avenue and went over into the a more black neighborhood, it was a different deal. And then when you got to Penn Avenue, just a couple of blocks east of Penn Avenue, where Plitman's was, you had to follow the rules there. Everybody made it very clear there were rules, but everybody followed them, so it was never a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point.
I just really, I have such great memories, some fond memories of growing up in North Minneapolis. People don't believe me when I tell them that. But I said, yeah, we were dirt poor, we're destitute and all the rest of it. But everybody got along, just as Mike Gelfand just said. We all got along. It was wonderful.
My grandmother lived, it was like one of those 1.5 bedroom houses. It was on Newton. 8th and Newton. Well, you know where that is.
Sure. 8th and Newton, yep.
And during the Depression, when times were tough, there were like 14 people living in that house.
Yeah.
It's just every relative who was destitute, they moved over to Bertha's house, and I'm sure she liked it.
God, you just brought a memory back I haven't thought of in a while. There was one guy, and I won't even say his name, but I do remember his name, but I won't say it. I will, too. His name was Mr. Rock, R-O-C-K. He spelled his name. His real name was Mr. Rock. And when you were a kid, he just assumed that every white kid walking down the street was Catholic, because they were, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally, if you walked on his sidewalk, he did not like Catholics walking on his sidewalk. and he referred to us as, quote, dirty cat lickers.
Really?
What a great memory.
Yeah. He was a sophisticated guy.
No, very sophisticated, no question about that. But, you know, whenever you bring up stuff like the Lincoln Dell or you know, Crossroads, it's going to be interesting. So Crossroads is going to stay open
while
it changes hands, right?
Yeah, the new owners apparently have told everyone there that nothing's changing. The menu's going to be the same.
Good.
And I'm hopeful that'll be it. I talked to a couple of the waitresses there, and they said, oh, yeah, we're staying. Nobody's leaving, so that's a good sign, at least
for
now.
The two boys, Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will miss him. He's always very, very pleasant to me, just a very nice guy.
Oh, yeah, and he's kind of like the glue that holds that kind of like held the place together.
I would agree with that.
So it is, you know, they say everything's going to be the same, but if Kevin's not there, it's not the same.
No, I understand that because he's always there to say, hey, Tom, how you doing? As a matter of fact, one time, I will never forget this. This is about 3 years ago, maybe something like that. I bought a new car, and I went to Crossroads for lunch. I got home, and I had been all over town, and I noticed, oh, my God, the front plate fell off my car or was torn off by something. I don't know what the hell it was. But the front plate was missing, and I had no idea because I was all over town that day, right?
Mm.
Next time I go to Crossroads, it's sitting in the front window. Tom, your license plate.
Well, hey, there you go.
That's pretty cool, don't you think?
That's a nice story, yeah.
Andy, do you remember people being that nice to one another, or was it all over by the time you were grown?
Well, I mean, I've spent the first 18 years of my life in pretty much a complete isolation. We lived
in Dayton.
Yeah. So it's
as
like,
opposed to now.
Well, now it's... I wish it was isolation.
Yeah.
It's forced socialization is what it is these days. But I mean,
very true.
Yeah, I didn't really, like, of course, I had friends and stuff, and I always thought my friends were nice and their parents were nice, but that's like the only people I met, really.
Mm-hmm. Got to remember those years when the KQ Morning Show got so huge, we had to have a police officer there while we were passing out Halloween candy.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It was unbelievable. I had to have an armed guard every time you went somewhere. It's like that show got so huge. And then, of course, they sold it and destroyed it. But other than that.
There was some scandal on a Halloween one time in front of the building.
There was.
I can't remember what it was.
Wasn't Bob Zansevier pooping in an outhouse, was it?
Well, I mean, I'm saying something different, though.
Like, what happened?
I can't remember, but...
So there was a scandal at the queue?
Yeah, it was Halloween, and right out there in the lawn, you know, there was a gathering of people. And I think somebody went too far.
Oh, you mean talking about on the show they went too far?
Well, it was just one of the listeners, and there was just a scene out there. God, I can't remember the story.
Well, you used to have a lot of scenes out there.
Well, yeah, that's true. But this one apparently was a little worse than most. And it didn't involve, I guess that was unique because it didn't involve any of the employees.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's absolutely. Well, you have to remember one thing. Back in the old days before they built the new parking lot,
mm-hmm.
back when we all were pretty much, Dave's office was in a trailer.
Yeah, I remember that.
I will never forget one morning after the show, walking out the door, I open the door, I step out, and a guy puts a gun to my head.
Whoa.
He goes, I have to talk to you. And it turned out, I'm like, what are you doing? Turned out that he was fighting with his girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
and she lied and told him she was dating me. Now, I was married to Andy's mother at the time, so it was going to be kind of a problem. But she just, because that was the first name that popped into her head because the show was so big.
Yeah.
That he finally, I finally said, look, man, I don't know why she told you that. It's not true. I'm married. I got kids. I moved from New York back to Minneapolis because we found out Andy was going to be born in 1986.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My first day there was March 17th, 1980. Why is that person always calling me during the show? Whoever you are, I'm going to hang you.
That person.
It's like, leave me alone, for Christ's sake. I try and try. But yeah, that was a little bit interesting. But the guy did understand right away that was all bullshit. And she just, I was probably the first name that popped into her head because the show was so big at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, he believed it. Well, I mean, I suppose he would believe it if the woman told you that. But he did understand when I said, look, I'm married. I got kids. I don't need to be having any girlfriends. I'm good to go. And he did finally. But having a guy put a gun to your head is interesting.
Yeah, that I would not have wanted to be at one of those delis before that.
No. Oh, God. You know, you just reminded me. Said, why did you do this to me just now? I went for my morning walk this morning, and there was a woman standing on the sidewalk, and her little dog was peeing in the grass next to the sidewalk. And as I walked by, she had her back to me, so she did not see me coming.
Mm.
But as I walked by, she farted.
Well, that's the great thing. Our listeners have always been comfortable with us.
Yeah, they always have. It's true. She had no idea I was there, but once she laid down the bunt and I passed, she had this look like, oh, wow. She never said anything.
Yeah.
But she had a maybe kind of a look of remorse on her face for farting at me.
Well, at least she could blame the dog.
Oh, no, she couldn't, because I was walking right behind her when she did it.
That's the trouble. You know, I've always had cats, and you can't blame the cats for that.
Well, I suppose not.
Yeah, you just reminded me of... In the earlier days of the show, there was a caller, and at some point he said, hey, Stretch, I heard you had a great time with my friend Sally last night out at the airport.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm saying, excuse me, but I don't think so. Well, yeah, you know, so I guess it was kind of ironic, you know, because it was the first time in my life that anyone got lucky pretending to be me. Because I never got lucky pretending to be me.
I do remember that when a guy was pretending he was you. He did it more than once, too, didn't he?
He might have, yeah.
I think he did it more than once, told everybody he was Stretch. Yeah. I will never forget that. You're right. When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
And then I look back, you know, and of course, what I always say is, sort of maybe inflating my visibility in those days, but I always said, you know, that fame is fleeting and obscurity is forever.
Yeah. Well, it is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no argument there. Obscurity cannot go away because it never came in the first place.
Pretty much.
What are you going to do?
Famous you are, at some point you will be forgotten.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because Catherine and I watched a movie last night called Harry Brown. It's an old movie with Michael Caine. And Michael Caine, as a matter of fact, by coincidence, we watched the movie last night not knowing this, but today is Michael Caine's 91st birthday. So, just happened to watch one of his movies the day before his birthday.
You know, Jesus. I think about all the movies I've seen him in.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much the same character.
He's awfully good, though.
Great at it, yeah.
He really is good at that. Have you ever seen Harry Brown?
I think I have, but you got to remind me a little bit about it.
Michael Caine has a buddy. Michael Caine's wife has died, and his buddy's wife has died, so they became kind of friends because they were on their own, and then a bunch of street thugs beat his buddy to death.
Mm.
So Caine decides that he's going to... Michael Caine decides he's going to take on, his name is Harry Brown, I think. He's going to take on the mob, a bunch of street thugs. And what's interesting is all these thugs hung out in a tunnel that went under a highway. And that's very, very common in America for thugs to be hanging out in tunnels. It really is. But let me just put it this way. things don't end too well for the thugs and Harry Brown. That's a good way to put it.
I remember seeing the movie, but I also remember not watching a lot of the really violent scenes.
Oh, there are a lot of very violent scenes.
Yeah, so, you know, I just handle that.
I understand that 100%. There's one scene right in the beginning when somebody takes about an 8-inch blade right in the throat. It's like, ugh, gets stabbed right in the throat. I'm like, okay, that looked like it might have hurt. But I don't know who put that together, but I will tell you what, because it's all about drug addiction and, you know, thuggery and selling guns to make money to buy more drugs to do and all the rest of it. Those people, the men and the women that were in that gang, they were very convincing as drug addict thugs. I mean, they just looked, you know, how they've got that sad face and their hair is all, I mean, they just did a really good job casting that movie.
Well, maybe they were, though.
Well, they might have been. Maybe they were real street thugs. Yeah. You might be right.
Yeah.
No doubt. All right, what else? So we talked about movies, we talked about delis. What else you want to talk about?
I'm hungry.
Oh, now you want to get to the deli as fast as you can?
Well, I have too much at home, but, you know, soon, yes. I'm going to have to, you know, if you were nearby, I'd say, yeah, let's go to the Crossroads. But we'll do that in a month or so.
Oh, you got that right. We'll definitely do. Well, one thing I will tell you, where Studio A is for this show is only about two and a half, 3 miles from Crossroads.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's not far
at all.
Almost
within walking range.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely do that. No question about it. I we got to do that, Mike. We literally have to start going to the deli more often.
Yeah.
Because I do miss Danny Barenberg and all those people. And I love delis. Always have, always will.
Yeah, and, or, you know, a trip to Cecil's every now and then.
Oh, God, yes. There's no question about that. We'll get it done. The Plitman's is where I ordered a roast beef sandwich with a glass of milk, and he said, "Fe goy shenokas."
You know, one of the great things about Cecil's is they have a lot of Hispanic waitresses,
mm-hmm.
And you know, the guy who runs it now, of course that the founder died just a few weeks ago.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the Leventhal. Yeah. The guy who started the whole thing. He was in his 90s, and he died just a few weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. So, it's another member of the family who runs the place. Very nice guy, but he has all these Hispanic waitresses, and he speaks Spanish perfectly himself.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know which came first, but it's great to see that.
No, I agree with that. No question, get out there, get everybody mixed in. Everything's wonderful. They're just great memories, like I said. I hope people still do that, go enjoy different cuisines and all that stuff, whether it's, you know, delis or Spanish restaurant, Mexican restaurants or whatever.
Because a lot of restaurants have closed. And you know, a lot of it was because of the pandemic, but a lot of restaurants close all the time anyway.
They do. There's no doubt about that. Andy, we just had a restaurant that we used to love to go to that closed. What was that again? About 6 months ago. I was trying to think of what it was, but I can't remember.
Was it in Florida?
No, there was one in Minneapolis.
One in Minneapolis.
I can't remember. Doesn't matter. No big deal.
I really mourn the loss of the Lindale Avenue Egg and I.
Oh, the Egg and I,
that
absolutely.
That place had so much character.
It did indeed. What, City Tavern right down the block?
I'm not sure. City Tap.
CC Tap.
Oh, CC Tap, of course.
Yep.
Yeah.
CC Tap, baby.
Yeah.
Andy, one of my favorites, and I'll use my hat as a, I went into the, what's the name of the dragon, the Red Dragon? Is that what it is?
Yeah, right down there by Lindale and Franklin.
Correct. And there was a bar in the Red Dragon, correct?
Oh, yes, with the Wondrous Punch.
There you go. So I go into the Red Dragon, and there's a bar in the Red Dragon. There's a guy in there that orders a pitcher of beer. And this guy looks to be maybe 70 years old. But back then, 70 years old was very old.
Especially at that place.
Especially at that place, exactly.
And that was a fun place. But, yeah, the Wondrous Punch definitely did yield a punch, yeah.
And made you wander.
And that place was supposed to be sort of like a a street version of the Nankin.
Yeah, I could see that. Another great restaurant, yeah. No question. So I walk in there. There's an old guy. Like I said, he looked like he was about 100, but he was probably about 70. And he ordered a pitcher of beer. And the guy said, "You want a glass or a mug?" He goes, "I'm fine." He didn't need a glass nor a mug. They bring the mug to him, and he does this. Makes the sign of the cross with the pitcher and then starts drinking out of the pitcher.
Wonderful place. I think it's still there, isn't it?
I think it is. I believe you're absolutely right. I think that is. And CC Tap is now, is it not? Is it called CC Tap still, or is it different?
I don't know.
It was a biker bar. It was a biker bar for a while. Remember that?
Well, it's a kind of a biker street.
Yeah, well, absolutely it is. There's no question about that. But you know what's so great about talking about this stuff, whether it's St. Paul, Minneapolis, whether it's delis or bars or, you know, delicatessens or, you know, whatever the hell it is, all the great memories we've had over the years.
Oh, yeah.
At those places. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, if, of course, you know, for me, it's the memories are always about the Nankin.
A lot of great memories at Nankin. Was that the Gold or Golden family? Was it the Golden family?
You know, actually, the Gold family, of course, you know, they had a number of liquor licenses. Probably still do, because, of course, they had Moby Dick's.
And, oh, right,
I think,
yeah.
And then they had the Gay 90s. And but it was the Golden family, yeah, the Golden family that ran the Nankin. That was, of course, our buddy, the neurologist. Dick Golden, that was his uncle.
Oh, it was his uncle, that's right, yeah. Oh, Dick Golden's Richard Golden's one of my favorite people in the world. I love that guy.
Yeah, good guy.
He is, no question.
And being a neurologist, he always had a very loyal customer in me.
He could show up all the time.
Well, it turns out there's about 14 things wrong with my brain, but, you know, you got to take with the good with the bad.
So what caused it?
I think that it was probably just a genetic thing, but then I think going those 25 years without sleep definitely made things a lot worse.
You know, there are great memories, and then there are very, very sad memories, of course, because in 1967, I believe it was, all those places we're talking about on Plymouth Avenue were burned to the ground.
Yeah.
Every one of them. That's so sad that they burned down Plymouth Avenue, wasn't it?
It is sort of like a metaphor for rage, hate, and politics in this country that so many people have elected to self-immolate.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, it's very,
literally
very
and figuratively.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But looking at all of my mother worked on Plymouth Avenue what the hell is the name of that place again? Oh, I can't believe I can't remember the name. Well, I was a little boy, but I used to go in there once in a while. And I do remember one time, my sister Vicky and I were watching the news. She was like 9, I was 7. We're watching the news, and George, who was the news anchor?
George Rice?
Is that who it was?
That was one, yeah, because that would have been right. I remember that, because that year, I believe George Rice was... He had been at least an anchor earlier, but that would be around that time, yeah. And then later he became or tried to be a politician at any rate. I remember because I wrote a story about him hustling up votes in Dinkytown, and of course nobody paid any attention to him. And I referred to him as the hairless Democrat or something like that. That would have been like 1968, I think. Yeah, because I was 18.
There you go.
And I was working for the Daily. And a couple of days later, the Minneapolis Star had ran an editorial lambasting me for making that reference to him.
Why?
Maybe they just wanted to help me launch my career. I don't know.
Well, maybe.
Because, you know, I'm 18. I loved it, of course.
Now, that restaurant was called Kilroy's. Kilroy's Cafe. It was right on Plymouth Avenue and Emerson. Emerson, well, I suppose it's, you know, about 20 feet down, whatever. But my mother worked there for many, many years. And Vicky and I, my sister Vicky and I, were watching the news one night. And they said, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to a remote sighting. We've got so-and-so. He's over in North Minneapolis at Kilroy's Cafe. Apparently, there's been a murder at Kilroy's Cafe.
No,
and so Vicky and I are like, what? So they go, and there's a guy out front. We're here in front of Kilroy's Cafe. There's been a murder here tonight, quite an investigation going on. As he's talking, a woman walks out between two cops with her coat over her head.
Yeah.
But I know it's my mother. You can, because it's your mother, right? You can tell. And I literally turned to Vicky and I said, do you think mom killed someone?
I was going to say maybe somebody didn't tip very well.
Exactly. So Toots killed him. Now, apparently it was a hooker who went in there because one of her Johns didn't pay up. So she went in and killed him, stabbed him right in the back.
It's things like that that give hookers a bad name.
It really does, doesn't it? Because you like hookers other than the murder.
Well, you know, they're after all, they have a heart of gold.
Mm-hmm. And they're all going to college.
It's true.
That's right. They're all going to college.
I know we only got a couple of minutes left, but I want to get the take on both of you guys from what I talked about earlier, the fact that Tucker Carlson and Chris Cuomo got together because they used to beat the piss out of each other verbally when, you know, Chris was on CNN and Tucker was on Fox. They had this nice... Michael Bryan sent me this video, getting together and going, we should never have done that. This country is getting further and further apart. The hatred is just building and building. We should have learned a long time ago. We'd both like to apologize for being so mean to each other. It was all about ratings, which means, of course, it was all about money.
Well, right. And also it's about the fact that neither one of them believes in anything.
Nope.
Do you think that's probably true?
Oh, no question.
Yeah, I suppose that's
because their careers have both fluctuated depending on what they could sell.
You know, like you said, it's all about ratings and money, and you say whatever gets you the most ratings.
Yeah.
You don't. It's easier to do that if you have no actual beliefs.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's difficult to go against your deeply held beliefs, but it's easy to say you have beliefs when you have none.
Yeah.
But don't you think it's better to talk in a very positive in a positive way, rather than stuff 99% of the time, it's, you know, Biden hates Trump and Trump hates Biden and this guy, Chuck Schumer, hates this guy and that guy hates. It's all about who hates everybody now.
Yep.
Yeah. See, that's why I like Kristi Noem, the South Dakota governor who's doing advertisements on various websites for her dentist in Texas.
It's a long way to go to get a dental cleaning.
But, I mean, isn't that great? I mean, it's crazy.
Why does she have a dentist in Texas?
Well, she wanted to get the whole thing done, you know, like veneers and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. Okay.
And so, first of all, the fact that she went to Texas is sort of incriminating anyway. So you've got a governor saying, we don't have any good dentists here.
Oh, true.
I have to go to Texas. But second, she's doing an infomercial. So it would seem that probably she was getting paid to do that. Nobody seems to be able to make any sense of it. But I don't know. I guess, you know, maybe if governors are talking about their dentist instead of, lambasting the opposition, maybe that's a step in the right direction.
Dental health is a positive thing.
It's a good thing, yeah.
But I have been told, I don't know, I don't pay attention to that stuff, but I have been told she's getting more and more liberal as time goes on. And some people are upset with her about that. So I don't know if that's true or not.
Boy, that's I can't even conceive of that because...
I know.
Because she is, you know, she wants to be the vice president candidate.
No, sorry. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has already taken Aaron Rodgers and Jesse Ventura.
And Jesse, yeah. Well, yeah. Wouldn't you, either one of those, yeah. Well, I think both of them would make... Either one of them would make Bobby Jr. look not quite as bad.
I feel sorry for him. There's something really wrong there.
Oh, yeah, though, there's no question. And he's done a lot of really terrible things, too. I'm not talking about Jesse obviously Aaron Rodgers is a nut job.
He is nuts.
But he, you know, now it turns out, now because he's being touted as a vice presidential candidate, there it comes out that he's among his conspiracy beliefs are the fact that Sandy Hook, nobody died at Sandy Hook. They were all actors.
Oh, he believes that? He got that from that, what, Alex?
Yeah,
what's
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, right? He actually believes that.
Why would they do that?
Well, you mean why would they believe that? Or?
Yeah, why would they believe that? There were plenty of dead bodies, weren't there?
Yeah, there were lots of people being buried, yeah. 20 kids alone.
20 kids?
Yeah,
so
20
how do
children.
You not think that ever happened?
Well, I guess, I don't know, but I guess you have to have something wrong with you. Second, you have to be incredibly cruel.
Yes. I would have to agree.
But
with
then
you.
Aaron Jones, Aaron Rodgers kind of fits that bill, I guess. Plus,
yeah.
He needs a career because he's never going to play football again.
No, it doesn't look like it. I don't know. I heard he's a massive pain in the ass.
Oh, well, it's pretty obvious, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I heard something. We can close with this. I heard something on the national news this morning I thought I'd never hear. A story about a 12-year-old boy who was riding with his sister, I believe she was driving. He's 12 years old. And a woman from Venezuela here illegally. And I know they love to talk about undocumented, but if it's illegal, it's illegal. I'm sorry. You can't get rid of that, you know. So she's driving in a 30-mile-an-hour zone at 70 miles an hour, going the wrong way on a one-way, head-on collision, and the 12-year-old boy dies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And one of the anchors, I won't say, it was on a national radio, a television news show, national news. The guy said, it was just such a horrible thing because if he hadn't been killed, he'd still be alive. I'm like,
well,
what?
You have a point.
You got a point there. But, you know, if we, the three of us, are ever killed, we won't still be alive. Did you know that?
Oh, man, I'm gonna put my seatbelt on next time.
It reminds me of a very old meme that came from a bad anime translation, probably like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And the quote is, people die when they're killed.
See, there you go. Maybe he was reading that before he made the comment.
Similar line of thought, the tautology club.
Yeah, well, we are getting dumber every day. We know
Seems
that.
Seems to be.
Oh, we are getting. Is it true, Mike and Andy, that most people of a certain age cannot do math, they can't read all that well, because they don't have to?
Yeah, I don't doubt it at all.
Well, you know, like my son, who was a teacher for many, many years, you know, and so he kind of could kind of chart the downward trend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After about the 15, 20 years of teaching. And he said at the end it was just you know, there were kids who just left in the middle of the class. Okay, that's enough. And the girls would all do it through Instagram. They would, you know, decide when they were going to leave the class.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like, you know, middle of the class, 10 girls just get up and walk out at the same time. Nothing you can do as a teacher.
No, I suppose not. Whatever. But just remember this. We'll close with this. If you weren't killed, you'd still be alive.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember that.
That explains a lot.
Really does. All right. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.